You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Business of Practice podcast, where we focus on the business and human sides of equine veterinary medicine. In this episode, we're going to talk with Dr. Fred Nostrandt about his experience serving as a USEF team vet. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Grice, business consultant and former equine practice owner. The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you in 2025 by Care Credit. Dr. Nostrandt grew up on a farm in Northern California where he was involved in 4-H and his family's quarter horse breeding operation. He became interested in equine veterinary medicine during his college years at Bates College in Lewiston, Maine. Dr. Nostrandt graduated from Tufts University School of Veterinary Medicine and then completed an internship at an elite sport horse practice in Connecticut, where he focused on lameness and general medicine. Dr. Nostrandt started Northbridge Equine to focus on the diagnosis and treatment of complex lameness issues in the equine athlete and help both horse and rider meet their performance goals. In 2018 and 2019, Dr. Nostrandt was invited to serve as the team veterinarian for the USA Dressage European Young Rider Tour. In 2021, Dr. Nostrandt served as team veterinarian for the USA Dressage team at the World Equestrian Festival in Aachen, Germany. In 2024, Dr. Nostrandt served as the veterinarian for Team USA at the World Cup Finals in Saudi Arabia. Dr. Nostrandt continues to support Team USA and USA Dressage by serving as a team veterinarian at several international events each year. In addition, he serves as the USEF official veterinarian at the USEF Festival of Champions at Lamplight Equestrian Center each year. Dr. Nostrandt lives on a farm in Concord, Massachusetts with his wife, Erin Renfro, who is an accomplished upper-level eventing rider and trainer. Along with their many horses on the farm, they have 4 dogs and 3 cats. Outside of veterinary medicine, Dr. Nostrandt enjoys spending time on his tractor tending the farm and working on his small collection of vintage Volkswagens. He is currently restoring a 1972 Super Beetle. Welcome, Dr. Nostrandt. What cool experiences you've had.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What exactly is a team veterinarian? And when you go to be a team veterinarian, what's it like? What are the days like at the event?
So anytime a U.S., the U.S. team is going to field a big international event, and they're going to send a group of riders, especially, you know, to a large European event, a World Cup or an Olympics or something like that, they usually send a veterinarian to tend to the horses and make things a little bit easier for the team rather than having to find a local veterinarian if they needed it. So when we're going to those big competitions, there's a vet that usually meets the horses there at the show and, you know, attends to any of their needs and kind of liaisons between the FEI vets and the team. The biggest complication, it's hard, is the FEI. So you're working under these international FEI rules that are very different from a lot of the, you know, kind of show rules that we're used to working as veterinarians in the U.S. It's a zero tolerance for any medications. And then there's very strict rules about what you can and can't do. So it's a bit of a process to get into the, you know, how it works and how to attend to the horses correctly and not, you know, upset anyone. The days are, you know, it's long. It's a long horse show. It's usually anywhere from 5 to 14 days, depending on the show. You arrive usually before the horses get there, just to make sure that the facility is set up, that the box stalls are all ready, that everything, you know, the horses can come off the van and get right into their stalls and have hay and water. So it's usually the veterinarian and the managing director of USA Dressage that are kind of the point people. And then the horses arrive at the venue, usually all together. And then you have your, they have to be inspected upon arrival. So they want to make sure there's no, you know, nobody's coming in with a fever or big snotty nose or anything like that. So
who inspects them?
It's the veterinary team that is running the show. So the veterinary delegate and their associates, there's usually a team of 2 to 4, maybe 5 veterinarians that work for the show under the FEI as kind of the official veterinarians to oversee the whole competition. So they do like an arrival exam, check their microchip, look at their passport, make sure this is the horse it's supposed to be, check their temperature, and then they can move into their stalls and get settled. So that's a bit of a circus because it always happens all at once. Everybody seems to arrive at the horse show at the same exact time.
Right.
So there'll be a line of, you know, 15 or 20 trailers waiting to get in the gate, and they do them one at a time. And it's not always expeditious.
The Business of Practice podcast is brought to you by Care Credit. Care Credit keeps equine veterinarians at the heart of care by providing horse owners with simple, budget-friendly financing options. By helping to bridge the gap between costs and care, Care Credit supports healthy financial relationships between veterinarians and their clients. Clients have a flexible way to pay over time for all types of care, and practices get paid in 2 business days. It's a payment experience everyone can feel good about.
So do the grooms for the horses... does each horse have a groom that comes with it? And so they travel with the horse on the airplane, and so they're taking care of the horse kind of through the whole deal?
Usually, yeah. It depends a little bit. When they're flying, they either send their groom or the company that is flying the horses provides the groom. It just kind of depends on, you know,
and then
who's
the groom
where.
Would meet them at the other end. Gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah. And then if they're flying, they usually fly into Belgium. The groom would meet them there. They'd go to a local stable and then from there make their way to the horse show, wherever it might be, or their training facility. Some people go over for, you know, a big part of the season. They'll go over after Florida in April or May and stay in Europe until, you know, August or September. So that's, you know, kind of depends on where they're coming from and what they're doing.
Gotcha. So they arrive, it sounds like they arrive maybe in the country earlier than they arrive at the competition oftentimes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they might go let down or get settled in the new country at a local farm and then come over. Is it they come over like a day before the competition, something like that?
Yeah, usually 1 to 3 days before the competition. They're pretty strict about when you can arrive at the show. So it's usually, you know, there's a set date that the gate opens and then you can show up. The Americans are always, you know, knocking at the door, waiting to be the first ones there. So
along with usually... the other 15 or 20 trailers.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but then it's usually a couple of days, a day or two to settle in and school and get, you know, everything coordinated before the show. The bigger the show, the longer time you have to settle in. Some of the, you know, local shows, quote unquote, are, you know, you get there a day ahead and then you start showing right away. So, and the usual flow is get settled and then, you know, the morning, it's really early. You're there at like 6:30. As the vet, you go over every horse every day, palpation, physical exam, you know, talk to the rider, talk to the groom. Anything changed? Anything different? How are we eating? Are we drinking okay? You know, you're just really fine-tooth comb going over every horse just to look for any changes over the course of the week. And the grooms are all so tuned into these horses that they're the best resource of, you know, yeah, that left front's just a little bit thicker than it was yesterday. And so we just are watching what's happening with each horse. So that's kind of the morning. And then they usually go school and ride, train a little bit. There's typically a break in the middle of the day. And then, you know, the showing will start in the afternoon or they'll train again in the afternoon. we are there as the veterinarians every time the horse rides. So we're watching them warm up. We're watching them compete. We're standing next to the coach, kind of just there if they need anything. And again, monitoring the horse and watching it perform and see if there's something that catches your eye that you need to keep an eye on. And then, you know, they come back, put them to bed. And, you know, we're usually some of the last to leave at, you know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock. And then you run back to the hotel, grab something to eat, go to sleep and do it all again. And usually that goes anywhere from, as I said, I think it's like 5 to 14 days.
How do they handle the night check stuff? Do they have like a watchman that's just going through to find anything?
Yeah, they do.
Because I'd imagine the grooms probably need to sleep too.
Correct. And the FEI has been really good at, I mean, I think I remember when I was a kid, and you probably remember, you go to a horse show early in the morning, the lights are blazing. They never turn the lights off. And yeah, the FEI has been really good at working on horse welfare. And now we have a set 8 hours that the lights have to be off. And you can only be in the barn if you really, really have to be. So they really shut everything down and they really let the horses rest. And that's only been within the last couple of years, but it's made a huge difference.
So do they have cameras?
A lot of the places do have cameras. Yeah. So they can, you know, if they hear somebody's walking around, and if they kind of wander through the barn and see something bad, they will call. But as far as like, you know, groom sleeping in stalls and the things that we have had in the past, that they won't allow that anymore.
Well, that's good, because the horses definitely need to rest, and they're already in a new place where they won't be as relaxed necessarily. Right. And so that's really good. One of the things that I was thinking about that would be, you know, sort of a sense of stress, especially all the different places that you've gone. What about the language barrier and like being able to communicate clearly with the people that you need to communicate with?
It's a challenge, and I've always been very self-conscious of being, you know, monolingual. I only speak English. I don't really speak anything else. I took Latin in high school as a...
Me too. You know,
right?
Me
they
too.
Said, you're going to go to vet school. You should take Latin. You'll need all the words, which never did I use much Latin. So it is a challenge. And the best story is the first competition I went to, and it was in 2018, and I went to Germany. And I arrived early, as they told me to do, and they told me where to go. And I get there, and they're still setting up the horse show, and all the gates are closed. And, you know, the guy at the gate's trying to ask me what I'm doing there. And I'm trying to explain to him that I'm the vet for the U.S. team. And he doesn't understand any English, because I'm in pretty rural Germany. So I had to go back to my rental car and get out Google Translate and learn how to say, I am the vet for the U.S. team in Germany. And I... walked up to the gate, and I kind of butchered my German. He was like, oh yeah, absolutely. And he, you know, opened the gate and let me in. So it's a challenge. You learn some of the words that you really need to learn. But for the most part, most of the places you go, everybody speaks enough English to get by. And you know, some of the restaurants and some places like that, it's a little more difficult, but Google Translate, and especially like, you know, restaurant menus, you can use the camera function to translate, and that's really helpful. But
yeah, I think I would have figured out like 6 or 7 phrases that I really needed.
Yeah.
And I'd write them down and then write, you know, like print out the thing so I could hold them up. You know, like pick a card.
Exactly. Will this work? Will this work?
That would be stressful.
It was pretty stressful, and that was my first time, and I didn't really know what I was in for, and it was like, oh god, I'm not even gonna be able to get in the horse show. They flew me all the way over here, and now I can't even get on the grounds. But for the most part, it's not too much of trouble. I think France was probably the one that was most, I mean, they all speak English, but they're, you know, a little bit,
but they're French,
difficult. But for the most part, it's been not too big of a problem.
Cool. So I'm sure that 2018 being stuck outside the gate is not your favorite memory. Do you have a favorite memory of one of your trips as a team veterinarian?
I think my favorite trip was by far Saudi Arabia. That was really amazing. And that was the World Cup finals. And it was a huge trip. It's kind of a part of the world that I don't know that I would go to on my own, like just as a tourist or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I jumped at the opportunity to go, and we sent four horses for dressage. And we were there for 2 weeks, and it was just, it was amazing. They took this immense convention center. And when we got there, the only thing they had done was put the footing down. There was no infrastructure for a horse show. I was like, how are we having a horse show? And in 5 days, three shifts a day, thousands of workers, they built a horse show, and they built all the VIP, and they built all the, you know, all the stuff to have a horse show in 5 days. And it was just unbelievable. They had all the horse. So the logistics were amazing. They had 56 horses competing at the World Cup. So they had them all fly to Belgium, and then chartered two 747s and flew them to Riyadh directly, and then brought them into the horse show. And you know, that was great because it was just a really small community of some of the top horses in the world. You know, the top 56 horses in the world are all at one little horse show in Riyadh. But everybody was really great. We had one horse that was really struggling to eat. Like, he didn't want to eat hay, and he didn't like his grain. And he was just a little, like, not colicky, but just not into what he had to offer. And we had brought everything from Europe. And so we had to try to figure out, oh God, what are we going to give him? So we're going around to the, I would go to the other vets from the other teams and be like, hey, do you have some forage that I can try for my horse? And you know, you're kind of forced to be a little bit more extroverted. I'm an introvert by nature. And, you know, it kind of forces you to like, go find your colleagues and, you know, try to work with them and be like, this is the situation. And it's usually, you know, there's, I think it was like 20 or so nations. So there was about 20 veterinarians, and it was really neat to bond with those folks and, you know that you had a colleague that you could go run to for help if you needed, or that was, you know, if you, somebody else needed something, you could help them out. But, we ended up also trying to find forage in Saudi Arabia, which is a little bit of a challenge since they import, most of their hay from, other places. The U.S. included, they will put, you know, alfalfa in shipping containers and ship it to Saudi Arabia. Right. So that was a little difficult. But I think that that trip was amazing, and seeing a different culture, a place I wouldn't go. And how do you take a group of elite horses and put them somewhere where they were not used to having horse shows? And how does that all work? And they did a really good job. It was very well done and fun experience.
And did you find some forage that the horse would eat?
We did. I was able to find, you know, some bagged forage from one of the European teams that at least got him eating again. And then we could throw back in some of the hay that we brought from Europe. And he ended up doing really, really well. So that was great.
That's great. It must have been, you know, to be in a spot where you couldn't just go get what you already kind of knew about from the U.S., but to just have to say, well, let's try something.
You know, when they're in Europe, there's always a feed store. You can always, even in Europe, you can find something. And here they were like, yeah, you're in the middle of the biggest city in Saudi Arabia. We don't have a feed store. You can't run to Tractor Supply and, you know.
Right.
It was, you just kind of have to figure out what's going to work. Try some things.
Yeah. And it sounds like you did.
I did.
It sounds so, it sounds just fascinating. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners that would be fun?
I guess the thing I would say is that it is very fun. It can be very stressful. I think the, you know, the rule of the veterinarian is to A, make sure that nothing bad happens. And if it does, take care of it and make sure that the horse can get to the ring. So it's, you know, it can be very difficult sounding, but once you get in there and you start working, it comes off as very intimidating, but everyone's super nice. These are some of the best horses in the world that I get to work on. Some really, really talented riders that I get to work with. And it's just really fun. I think the jog is always the most stressful. There's usually an inspection the day before competition to make sure the horses are sound and fit to compete. And that for me is the most stressful because, you know, we got to get them through that so they can compete. And so once we get through the jog, I can kind of take a little bit of a breath and and enjoy the rest of the time. But it's incredibly rewarding. I'm not an athlete myself, so to be able to represent, you know, Team USA and our country abroad in some little way is great, and contribute to our profession. And the visual, you know, having us out there as advocating for the horse's welfare is just, you know, a true honor.
Yeah, it sounds like it's probably pretty stressful, but so incredibly rewarding. And the people you get to meet, the beautiful places you get to go, the amazing athletes. Yeah, so it's a balance, and the balance kind of tips toward it's kind of a fun thing, as long as you can handle the stress, which exactly. It could be scary.
It could be scary. And it's very, and it is intimidating, but really, you know, the hardest part is that you're working on, you know, 4 to 6 horses you've never met, and right. They don't know you as a veterinarian, and that's not your regular person. So we do a lot of liaison with their home veterinarians before the trip to try to communicate, hey, is there anything I should watch for? Is there anything we need to know about this horse? You know, we had one that doesn't travel well, so we make sure he gets fluids when he gets there. And, you know, there's stuff like that, that helps to ease the transition for the horse and for the rider and the groom, that, right. You know, this vet they've never met before is tuned into what's going on with their horses. So,
I hadn't thought about that. And what a relief that would be to, you know, just sort of feel like you knew the horse a little bit from talking to its normal veterinarian. And there's timing differences, but you could reach out, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
To those veterinarians, if there was something questionable that you weren't sure if that was its normal thing to do or whether it actually was a change.
Yeah. And that I've done that several times. And, you know, what would you do in this situation for this horse? Uh-huh. You know it really well. Yeah. Here was what I was thinking. What do you think? And then kind of, you know, meet with the rider and say, this is what we came up with. What do you think?
Yeah. A collaboration.
It's really fun. I mean, the teamwork part of it is really fun. I think that part is really satisfying for me, is like being part of a team and seeing, you know, putting the horse and rider into the ring and saying, you know, everybody behind us has done everything we can to get this horse here. And now off you go. Yeah. Make us proud.
Yeah, that's very cool. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Nostrand, and explaining this all. It's what an exciting thing to do.
Thanks. It's been my pleasure
thank
to
you
talk
all.
About.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad that it's just a really cool thing. I'm so glad that I invited you to come and tell us about it. And thank you all for joining us today for the Business of Practice podcast. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Care Credit. And to all my listeners out there, be brave. Embrace change.